Blog Talk Radio.
Jim.
We'll even dedicate the song to whomever and from you. Remember, listening to your car radio on your main squeeze, as it would be called, you know, many years later, I do. We might even insert some more songs you may remember back in the day if your producer can find them for us. Mr. Producer, can you do that? Well,
oh, yeah.
Hello again, folks. We're back, and as you can hear, our producer may have some surprises as we go into our 204th radio broadcast. I really thought it was more than 204 this time. It's our fifth year serving as the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And again, I might remind you that no other airline represents their former employees in providing a weekly voice about their company as we do here at Eastern Airlines. At the Eastern Alliance Radio Show, we bring you live talk with former employees, interviews with leading aviation authors, interviews with former and current presidents of Eastern Airlines, and a little bit of airline humor, serious airline real-life drama as told by former Eastern people, projects such as First Flight to introduce the new company back into the air, and much, much more. And it's been a trip for us here at the radio station. We are just so delighted, as you can tell. We enjoy talking about our favorite company, Eastern Airlines. Let's introduce our host for tonight's show, Neil. Who do you see there on the producer's board?
Well, let's see. Let's start with the ones I see here in the studio. And they are from North Carolina. Steve Thompson and his lovely wife, Glenda, and John Reinhardt and his lovely wife, Lynn, who is Steve's sister. Did I get that right, Steve?
Yes, Neil, you did a great job. And thank you for letting us share your golden EIB microphone from the studios of the EAL radio show.
High atop.
Yes. We have enjoyed so much our visit down here, and the snow we have been able to shovel off of the sidewalks, and it's all gone now, and the temperature is 71 degrees. Thank you again, Neil, for your hospitality, and my brother John would like to say hello.
Neil, thank you again for having me here tonight, and I just want to say that it is definitely high in here. I don't know about the top.
And we don't shovel snow here. We shovel sand. And sometimes we get it in our shoes. But let's see. Who else do I see out there in Radio Land? Oh, I see way down south. I see Cecile Entriago. Cecile, how are things in your area?
Things are great. We're in the 70s, and my grandson had sand in his shoes over the weekend. We had a great time. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, and then let's go up to New York. Oh, my golly. I can shiver right now just thinking about you, George Jen, and Frank Segnor. George, tell us what's going on in Long Island.
Well, it's been actually yesterday, I believe, was the coldest day of the year so far, and there's more snow forecast for tomorrow. Not much, but snow nonetheless, which makes me believe I'm going to head south for a week or so starting this weekend. Back to you, Neil.
Okay. I think, Frank, you can ditto that, right, Frank Segnor?
Yeah, we can ditto that. And we got to thank all you southern folks for sending that warm air up the coastline that turns to snow up here. And we've been getting it every two or three days, a couple inches here, 2 feet there. And eventually it just doesn't go away every couple days.
No, that's okay, Frank. We'll send you some more.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
All right. Let's head on down to Golf World. And none other than Chuck Albright lives in the Villages of Florida. How's things in the Villages, Chuck?
It's really good tonight. We've had some really good weather here the last couple of days. The snowbirds are here. Of course, they brought some cold weather. We don't have any snow. I don't think it's snowed here since 1973, last time I heard. Golf courses are really full. And I think we're looking at a little cool weather tonight. I think it's going to dip down into the 40s. So that's probably a heat wave for George and them. But it's really nice here, and we're really enjoying the cool weather because we know the heat wave's coming. Back to you.
Okay, Bill Joseph, are you with us? Okay, Jim Graybill. How about it, Jim? Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Neil. Yeah, sitting on the side of Kennesaw Mountain down here, it's going to get interesting tonight. We don't have any snow, but it's raining. Temperature is right around 32 degrees, a little bit further south. I mean, just a couple of miles further south. It's down into the high 20s. So with this rain and this stuff freezes, it's going to be an interesting night. Back to you, Neil.
Yeah, I can imagine. And let's see, I didn't leave anyone out, I don't believe. Jim?
Yes, Jim Hart.
Okay, Jim.
Hey, just want to let everyone know that I'm here in the little town of Royal Palm Beach, just west of West Palm Beach. Our weather normally is just beautiful. Today it's 72. I guess the people on Martha's Vineyard in Boston would love to see 72 right now. It's unbelievable. After I talked to the caretaker of my property up there, he said the wind is blowing so hard, the temperature without the wind is one above zero. With the wind, it's 30 below zero. In all my 30 years up there on that island, I've never, ever had this experience. It is just unbelievable, folks. And I'll tell you, I'm so happy to be right here in Royal Palm Beach. Back to you, Neil.
Well, Jim, how about since Bill is not with us tonight, how about doing some housekeeping for us?
Okay, fine. If you've listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast.
Our numbers once again are 213-816-1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. I'll go a little slower. 213-816-1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. And remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your telephone if you wish to connect live with our show. And just as a reminder to our listeners, you can tune us in by going to www.ealradioshow.com and click the arrow in the circle on the radio icon, or go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Finance Association website, and clicking the radio show's icon on their homepage. Their site is www.repaonline.com. Back to you, Neil. Do you want to get those engines started now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and see if we can crank it up.
And then you can tell us what our show is about tonight.
Okay, clear prop. I'm sorry, Jim, say again.
It sounded like maybe a Martin 404 or a Convair, or is it a bigger one?
No, it's an R2800. You're right in both cases, because the R2800 radial engine was in both the Martins and the Convairs.
Neil,
very good.
This is Steve, and I think it's rather embarrassing now, this engine starting, because Chuck is in charge of our maintenance, and we are getting some god-awful exhaust colors coming from this engine when we started. And I think for several months now, we have complained about it, and I would have thought by now he would have been able to correct this.
Well, as long as
I did. I put a note on the right up there by the throttles and then told you guys to quit messing around with the lean and rich mixer. But you don't seem to understand about that other little knob there.
Okay. Well, let's start off with some happy music. If you ever drank a can of Irish brew with a side order of music, you may remember this one.
Long time ago, when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen, they'd run around free while the earth was being born. But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpy-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, as sure as you're born. The loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo, and take some of them green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, and cats and rats and elephants, but surely you're born. Don't you forget my unicorn. Old Noah was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, hey Lord, I got you green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn. Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was pouring. Oh, them silly unicorns. Those green alligators and long red geese, some humpty back camels and some chimpanzees. Noah cried, close the door, cause the rain is pouring, and we just can't wait for no unicorns. The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Then unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn to this very day. You'll see green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're
never going to see no unicorn. Now, tell me you never heard that in an Irish pub.
Sure have.
And keeping with our open mic format tonight, I thought we would go back to our school days. We do have a guest, and just... And I don't know how he's taking all of this that he's hearing tonight, but we're going to talk a little bit about who, what, when, where, and sometimes why, which is an adverb, I guess, in some kind. Sometimes it can be a pronoun. And but at any rate, we remember these days, of course. Enough of that one. I ran out of remembrance of that one. But at any rate, we're going to talk a little bit about who, what, when, where, and sometimes why. And I think we remember that when our English teacher told us about adverbs and pronouns and what have you. But tonight, we do have a special guest, and he's in the New York area. His name is Latif Nasser. And I don't know much about Latif, but he is
no
with, I think, National. Yeah, George, do you have some background on Latif?
I really don't, Neil, other than to know that I think it probably would be best if Latif introduced himself.
I'm going to have him do that. Latif, go ahead and tell us all about yourself.
Great. Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be all here, and congratulations on your 204th episode. That's exciting.
Thank you.
So my name is as you said, Latif Nasser, and I'm a public radio. I work for a public radio show called Radio Lab, which is based out of here in New York, out of WNYC, and I'm researching this story. So maybe some background. Our show, we pick themes and we present stories around a theme. And one of the stories, the theme for an upcoming episode is called Reality Check. And so we're looking for stories that kind of blended reality and fiction. And I found one story, and this is kind of where I think you all might be able to help me. So I found one story about an Eastern Airlines flight from 1969 that was in fact hijacked. So and it had on board the creator and host of the show Candid Camera. His name was Alan Funt. This plane was hijacked on its way from Newark to Miami. It got hijacked and taken to Cuba. And the twist of it is that because this man, Font, was on board, so the story goes, the passengers on the plane, they thought that it wasn't a real hijacking. They thought that they were actually on candid camera, and that that the whole thing was just a kind of TV prank. And so for my radio show, I'm trying to research this story. And so I was hoping I would reach out to you know, where better place than the Eastern Airlines radio show to see if there were if anybody you know was working on the crew on that flight or knows anybody who was. I have a lot of names, but I was hoping some people could to reach out so people would reach back to me if they knew anything about it and they could help me verify whether it really happened or not.
Latif, what do you know about that flight now up to this point?
I
think you know the crew. Could you tell us the names of those crew members that you have discovered?
Absolutely. So the flight was flight number 7 on Eastern Airlines flight 7 on February 3rd, 1969 from Newark to Miami. The captain was Jack Moore. The co-pilot was Lowell R. Miller, and in fact, I got in touch with Mr. Miller, and he was very helpful. I'm still looking for other folks, though. So the second officer was Fred Weaver, and then the flight attendants were Linda Davidson, Vicki Hassel, and Margaret Bolton.
Okay,
I believe that was the entire crew.
And the first officer, you said you did get in touch with First Officer Miller?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Yeah.
And
extremely helpful. Yeah.
What type of information are you looking for, Latif? I would think that First Officer Miller would be able to shed a lot of information, light on the information you're looking for. But what seems to be the missing pieces here that you're looking for so we can see if we can focus in on that?
Yeah, great. So the thing I'm most interested in, and First Officer Miller was able to help me to kind of tell me a little bit about the hijacking, what happened. He was in the cockpit at the time. But what I'm more interested in is what happened among the passengers. How did the passengers react? And is it true, as it was said by Funt in his autobiography, that indeed the passengers did react in this kind of strange way, thinking that it was a stunt. And in fact, he claims that they were applauding the hijackers because they thought that they were actors. So what I want to know is if indeed that happened. Or did he sort of embellish that story, or how did it actually go? So I'm trying to anybody, especially about the passengers on that flight and how they reacted during that hijacking.
Okay. All right. Well, we got that information out. Does any of our hosts or listeners like would you like to ask Latif a question or two? George?
Feel free, please.
What year was the hijacking?
So the hijacking was in 1969.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Cecile speaking here, because I joined Eastern in 72, and I coincidentally was in the hijack deterrent program, reporting directly to Jack Shields Colonel Borman and Captain Fanella when I worked with Ron Long, who, by the way, might join us in a minute, Neil. But I don't know anything about this hijacking.
You know, Cecile,
that was before my time.
Yeah, Latif, Cecile worked for security with Eastern, and perhaps Long and Shields might be able. Well, was it Jack Shields and Ron Long?
Right, but Ron joined us after 72, so he wouldn't know about this. Oh, he didn't recall it. I just called him on the phone, and he might be on with us in a minute. So he wouldn't know about this hijacking in 69. As a matter of fact, I'm not quite sure Eastern had a hijack deterrent department until in the 70s, because I remember when I joined Jack Shields, I joined in 72. It had just been formed, so I'm not sure. But sorry, I can't help you with that, Latif.
No, but thank you very much. It's been just, you know, anything and everything is helpful. So that's actually very helpful, too. Thank you.
Latif, what kind of airplane was it? What type of airplane?
To be honest, I cannot tell you. I know that there were something like 80 or so passengers on board. But I
George?
Yeah, I flew that trip a couple of times after that date, but Flight 7 was a nonstop from Newark to Miami, and it was a 727.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for that.
That's a good piece of information right there. You know, Latif, we have had people that have listened, and a lot of folks listen and surf for information, surf for pieces of information, and I don't know how to do that, but they put in what they're looking for. And we actually had William Shatner's production crew, kind of like what you're doing, that listened to one of our programs, and we had a show on the Ghost of 401, which was the Everglades crash of our L-1011 back in 78. They picked up on that, and by golly, they called us and wanted us to fill in some information, kind of like what you're doing, and we were able to provide a discovery show of a half hour because of our broadcast of Flight 401. So you never know who listens to this show and can pick it up on the archives that we have.
I feel like I'm in esteemed company if it's myself and William Shatner.
Well, you know, I went down and I was consulting on that, and I went down to Miami and was part of the show, as a matter of fact. And
really?
if you ever watch it, you'd see me flying on a Cessna 172. And it was somebody else's airplane. But at any rate, it was a fun show to do. And even though the questions that were asked by William Shatner, I never saw Shatner until the broadcast of the Discovery Channel, because all I was doing was feeding the line. And then they had William Shatner to ask me the questions. So it sounded like he was right there with me. But it was a good show. It was a fun show.
Hey, Neil.
That's great.
Were you that little guy walking on the wing of the DC-3 pulling the cowling off on a Twilight Zone?
Yeah, I was Shatner that
old friend. Right.
Yes. I'll verify it. That was him, George. Neil, I have
so.
A story. When I was in the hijack deterrent department, you want me to share that story?
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, Latif, interesting thing. When I joined, I had to keep a log of all threats, obviously, and when there's a full moon, invariably the threats were always higher, like bomb threats and so forth. They're always on a full moon. It really, what my boss, who's left us already, Jack Shields, was awesome. He was a Marine and he was awesome trainer and taught me a lot. But the one thing that was interesting, one day he comes to me with a necklace with a heart. And he goes, okay, Cecile, what is this? What it was is one of the, I don't know what he was, but he was obviously a little he was crazy, I guess is the word. But he sent in, he sent a locket to my boss. Don't ask, but it was during the full moon, and it was really hysterical. And if Ron, did you join us? Have you joined us, Ron? See if Ron Long joined us. We worked together, Ron Long, Jack Shields, and I, in that department. But invariably, it was interesting. And the first hijacking when I was there was within a week, and my boss was he was at the airport, so I had to do an O.J. Simpson down the hall to get Captain Finello, and because the FAA called on our line and said, your plane number such and such is being hijacked to Cuba, and I almost dropped the phone. And then within seconds, everybody met in the system control center, and then they, of course, talked to the captain. But that was my first experience, I think, a week and a half on the job. It was quite an interesting department. And Jack Shields was awesome to work for, as was Ron Long. And Ron Long is in Central Florida now, and he joins us on the radio once in a while. Back to you, Neil.
Latif, I think, Latif, one of the questions you ought to ask, if you do have some people that call you, is was it during a full moon that hijacking
occurred? I did not even think to look that up, but now that's the first thing I'm thinking of, I guarantee you.
Yeah, Eastern
I
had
it. I'm just stunned by that piece of information. I find that I find that just so funny.
Eastern
had its share of
hijackings. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Latif. Maybe Latif could leave a number where people who might be listening in can contact him if they have any additional information about the flight.
Would you do that,
great,
Latif?
Great. Yeah. Sure. I can give you my phone number. My personal phone number is 857-350-7874. Should I repeat it again, maybe?
Yes, please do. Repeat it slowly.
Okay, great. Great. So once again, 857-350-7874.
Very good. Had you rather be contacted on your phone or email?
And email also works. So I could give you my email.
Go ahead.
So it's just my name. So it's Latif dot S as in Saratoga dot Nasser NASSER. And that's at gmail.com.
Okay. Latif, is the show hosted on National Public Radio? Is that what NPR?
That's correct. Yeah, that
okay.
is correct. So it's broadcast over many different NPR stations, and then also it is podcast online, much like your show. And you can look into it more if you're curious. It's the website. That is radiolab.org, radiolab.org.
Okay, very good. Okay, we've got all of that information. And for those that listen to our show on the archived version, because we know so many people do pick up our archive shows every week, and we have anywhere close to about 1,000 listeners now on each one of our show. And among those, a great percentage of those, of course, are archive listeners. We have people doing their daily jogging and running and so forth, and they like to download and listen to our shows and whenever they have time to listen to them. But you can pick it up on our episode 204 broadcast now with tonight's show. But we'll also, Latif, put that request on our website. And, Latif, I don't know whether you've been to our website or not, but it's www.ealradioshow.com. And we'll put that right up on the website. So anyone looking at the website that wants to get in touch with you, then they can do so. We have 844 members of our radio website, and they check in regularly and look at all the activity that's going on the website. So.
Very exciting. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us tonight.
Hello,
Jenny
McKinnon here.
If I can share with you, Neil just wrote a book. It's Cecile. Neil just wrote a book.
Oh, hang on, Cecile. We've got someone that has some information on the hijacking. I just heard that.
Great.
So the floor,
oh, wow.
The microphone is yours, caller.
Okay, it's Renee McKinnon from the old YYZ. I was just looking on the Internet, and I discovered an article by Alan Funt on the hijacking, a story he wrote for the Ocala Star-Banner. There's a two-page item
right.
on the Internet.
Yeah. I had found that as well, but that is. I mean, you are a more intrepid researcher than I, if you found that so quickly. I had also found that, but all of the accounts that I've gotten about that one flight are all from Alan Funt, and I was hoping to find somebody else who was on that who could tell me a little bit about it. But I'm I'm dazzled by your research skills.
Okay. We'll keep looking then.
Okay. And caller, identify yourself again, caller.
Renee McKinnon.
Renee McKinnon. Okay, very good,
yeah.
Renee, having you with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Renee.
You're welcome.
And
yeah,
Renee, where are you calling from?
My number is 519-471-8003. That's in London, Ontario, but I used to work at YYZ at Toronto with Easter.
Very good.
Oh,
I'm
actually from Toronto.
Golly, Pete, wow. And I know it's cold up there, Renee.
No, it's frozen.
So I guess you drink a lot of frozen daiquiris, don't you?
Yeah, but we're worse than New York.
Oh, golly, Pete. That's where it comes from, I guess, up in Canada. Starts from. But golly, Pete, did you work with Eastern there at Montreal or Ontario, Toronto?
No, I was in Toronto and Miami.
Okay. Where did you work, in operations, flight operations, or reservations?
I was in operations, and actually I knew George. He used to fly in and out of Toronto all the time.
Okay.
We don't remember each other, but I know his name, and I know he would have been through ops all the time. And I read his book, and it's a fantastic book about the story of Eastern Airlines. So I had some stories to him about that.
Isn't that
some
a great,
of the stuff that went on with
vegan
and the cocaine and all that.
Renee,
yeah,
were
it's
you...
a small world.
Yeah, Renee,
yeah.
What years did you work in Toronto?
I started in 1967, and I was there till 17 years at the airport in Toronto. Then I went to sales, and then I transferred to Miami for about a year or so, then back to Toronto.
Do you recall an L-1011 in Toronto that was departing and early in the morning, and the airport was completely frozen? And, no, it wasn't completely frozen, but at any rate, they were refueling the airplane, and the fueler, actually, we pulled the dipsticks from it beneath the wings to make an accurate accounting of the fuel loaded. I'm looking to the expert here now, Steve Thompson, so correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. But in this particular case, they were dipsticking, pulling the stick down from beneath the wings and in the fuel tank. And lo and behold, they had turned the thing too far, and the whole unit came out, and fuel was pouring on the ramp. Do you remember that, Renee?
I don't think I was there on that day, because I would have remembered that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody remembers it that was there, and I was there that day because I was on the flight. And they couldn't figure out how to stop that fuel, because it was a plug that was out now on the ramp somewhere. And the only way that one of the brave guys out on the ramp did is he put on a yellow rain gear, covered himself completely, and finally with the loaders that they eased up so he could get at the top end of the loader after they lifted it up, managed to take that plug and push it back in. But, I mean, he was completely soaked, but fuel was all over that ramp that morning.
From my time at Toronto, it sounds to me like that would have been our maintenance manager, John Schultzenitz. He did everything up there, and he was the type of guy that would have known what to do and would have done it. He must have been on duty that day.
Yeah. Well, it was about a half hour of nobody knowing what to do to prevent that fuel from spilling out of that wing that morning. And I just sat there and looked from the ground, you know, my God. And, of course, the fire trucks are all over the airplane, of course, down below.
Yeah.
But that's just one of the incidents that I can remember of Toronto, besides a few other things on layovers. But I won't go there.
We're not going to
Young
think
Street.
About those.
I always enjoyed my Young Street layovers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do I have to keep you pilots in check again?
What do you mean in check? We're just sitting here chatting about things that happened.
Okay.
Well, Thanks so much.
Ron's trying to get on, by the way, Neil.
Let me see if I can open his microphone.
Yeah, right. His area code would be 954, possibly, if he's calling from his cell.
No, I have 2770s. I have no 954 except yours.
And the village's area code, what is that, 352?
352 is the village's.
Okay.
Ron, if you're listening.
He was trying to get on. Okay.
Okay. Well, Latif, are you still with us?
Yeah.
He's dropped. Oh, okay. Very good.
I'm still
okay,
here.
Okay. Well, I know it's just so interesting to listen to all these people talk about. I'm running my mouth too much, so I'm gonna shut up.
No. I'm actually from Toronto, so I was especially interested to hear about your Yonge Street layovers.
Oh, yeah. All right. A beautiful city, by the way. Always enjoyed flying in Toronto, and we always Atlanta, Buffalo, Toronto, and we'd always pick up our Buffalo wings in Buffalo, of course, and then fly over to Toronto. And I think we were laying over out there on the King's Highway or whatever it was, Roadside Inn or something like that. Beautiful hotel. Shows. And this is interesting about Canada. And maybe, Renee, you can tell us whether it's all through Canada. But we, in the hotel that we stayed in, they had a bar. And women were not allowed, ladies were not allowed in the bar. Is that true with a lot of hotels up there? Is that or was that in the olden days, Renee?
That was the olden days.
Okay.
You were flying way back. The times have changed. They got a lot more liberal now. We're in the real world.
Well, I remember that because our flight attendants on the trip, they found out that we were going to go down to the bar. And it was a quarter a glass of beer, and they would always dump four beers in front of you for a dollar. And they tried to come in and enjoy the popcorn and the pizza and whatever we were eating, the beer, and everyone booed them out. I mean, they actually, all the men sat up there when the gals came in, the flight attendants, and they just boo, and they had to leave.
Yeah, that was a good old days.
Good old days or not.
Ladies and escorts side, and then there was the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's a good thing I wasn't there. I would have booed you all out.
I bet you would have. Well, those were the good days. Latif, so you're from the Toronto area. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got Jim.
Yeah, Neil, a bit ago, we were talking about education or schools or something, and it reminded me of when I lived in New Jersey. I was over near the Jersey Shore, but there was a little town near us where the schoolhouse had a separate entrance for girls and a separate entrance for boys. And the school mom would stand outside and kind of ring everyone in. And I brought the ring here with me. Listen to this. How about that?
That's too funny.
You won't hear that anywhere but on the Eastern Airlines Radio Network.
There you go.
I heard it the last time a bank got robbed here and the police showed up. It sounded like that.
Area code 727. Where do we have an area code 727? Is that Tampa? St. Pete?
Hello, Neil.
Hey, Bill Joseph.
I finally got here.
You finally got here. Okay, I saw that 727, and I thought, that must be Bill Joseph.
That's a fellow that was on from Toronto. I used to attend the meetings at Rockefeller Center with his boss by the name of Guy Uddenberg.
Yes.
He was a manager of
sales
and service
here in
Toronto.
Yeah, he was the manager when I was there.
Yes, he and I attended meetings together.
Okay, great.
What
you
did
know,
you do
I have
these
a, I have another hijacking story if Latif is interested in it. That, I don't know if you remember this, Neil. You probably do, but it was on a Friday evening, and a mentally disturbed New York City policeman was attempting to hijack an Eastern 727 to Havana, but they were in Nassau on the ground. And he claimed he had dynamite with him, and he was demanding $500,000. And somebody called Johnny O'Neill. I don't remember if you remember John, but Friday night was his favorite night to imbibe a little bit, let's put it that way. So John hopped on board the trainer that we had there. I believe it was a Piper of some type, and he flew over to Nassau to himself to take care of the it was an aero commander, and he flew over to Nassau to take care of the hijacker himself, not for what he did for attempting to hijack the plane, but because he interrupted his Friday night drinking. And but the it was an interesting story what it turned out to be.
Well, was it a full moon?
You know, I believe it was, and it's one of the stories that sticks in my mind. Though it was very funny. I won't give you the punchline of it at this time. We'll talk about it another night, though.
Okay. Well. Chuck, I know you're just biting at the bit to tell us your story.
Well, my story doesn't compare to what I've been listening to. It's very entertaining and very interesting to hear about what happens in the backgrounds of some of these incidents at Eastern Airlines, especially the hijacking. Of course, being in the maintenance, we don't get all the details. We just get the airplane when it comes back. My story is a little bit different. You know, we read in the paper and we see on TV and on the internet how planes go down and how fragile they are and the loss of life and everything else. But if you really knew the makings of an airplane, if you ever get a chance to go through one of the manufacturing centers of Boeing or Lockheed or anything, it's a great tour, and it will reassure you that. The airplanes that we produce here in the United States are some of the greatest airliners in the world. And to prove that, Eastern had bought one of the airplanes that they had bought was an A300. And that was a classic plane in that it it had all the modern sophistication in it, but unfortunately, I think they overbuilt it somehow. But anyway, one of the planes landed in Miami, and the landing gear, the brakes on the landing gear seized up. We found out later it was due to a hydraulic lock, but and the landing gear caught fire, and of course fire people went out there with their foam and everything, and they got the fire under control. And meanwhile, they had taken the passengers off, and they had called us over in maintenance to come and get the airplane off the runway because obviously they needed it. So I happened to be the assistant lead that day at the terminal, and the people that went out and got the workers that went out and got the plane and brought it in. So I went out and looked at it. And there's with the firemen there, still ready to put any fire out. And they had it's kind of like a camera, so to speak. And they would aim it at different parts of the airplane if they thought there was a fire or anything. And they were waiting for the landing gear to get cool enough to where they could douse it with this foam that they used to put the fire out with to cool the brakes down. And I didn't know this, but the brakes, the housings are made out of magnesium, you know, on that particular airplane. And if anybody in the audience knows, if in your science class, they used to take magnesium and they would put it into a glass of water, and it just bubbles around. Well, that's what happens when water gets around the magnesium when it's the fire is going. But we had to wait for that plane to cool down for almost two shifts. But to show you how good that airplane was, they took that plane over to overhaul, took the gear out, put the other gear back in, and probably within about 36 hours, that plane was back flying with a brand new landing gear and truck system in it. So anybody that thinks that airplanes are fragile and everything, I take it from somebody that's worked on and around airplanes for 43 years, they're pretty sturdy. I mean, there are incidents where they can come apart in the air, turbulence and stuff, but that's tremendous amount of pressure of negative and positive pressure. Most of the pilots know more about that than I do. But that's my story for tonight. You guys, when you see something on the TV, don't get too excited about not taking a trip. You get on that airplane and go out and have some fun. See you later, Chuck, there.
Chuck, this is Steve, and to reinforce what you have just said, I would also like to comment on the fact that the pilot skills in the United States, I think, are second to none. And many recent accidents that have occurred have been with pilots flying who are non-United States pilots. Now, that's not something that is necessarily indicative, but I believe that pilots in the United States are the most highly trained and efficient pilots in the world.
Well, I have to agree with you because being around the terminal area, I got to meet an awful lot of the pilots. And over the years, you get to hear stories. You're signing off the logbooks and stuff, and they're talking in the cockpit, and they tell you about the stories that some of them don't get published and some of them don't get put in books. But I think you're right because I was in the Air Force for 26 years, so I know pilots from there. And I think you hit it right on the head. I think the United States has produced the premier pilots that fly airplanes, not only back in our day, but even today. They have great pilots that's out there that do great jobs and save a lot of lives.
Hey, Chuck, I must also make a comment about the mechanics that work for all of the American airlines and all the fixed base operators, and anyone that has an FAA certificate as a certified FAA mechanic, A&P mechanic, that I think the best trained mechanics in the world are right here in the United States. They just don't make it any better.
That one.
I have a question for both you and Chuck. Has anyone determined yet who's going to do the servicing on the airplanes for the new Eastern?
I believe I'll take that for a minute. I believe we talked to Ed about that. At least I did. I asked a question. He says everything below the wings is going to be contracted out, or we call it farm out. I have my reservations about some of the places outside this country. Not to say that there aren't good places that do excellent work, because we do have planes that fly from different countries that are perfectly good pilots and mechanics, but some of the stations I'm a little leery about, so especially where they've decided to go fly. So it looks like he's going to contract it out and not hire mechanics that like Eastern used to have, like myself.
And we're not going to get ourselves into a union situation like we were before, is that right?
I don't know about that. That would be up to the pilots and the flight attendants, because they're, at this particular time, from what I understand, they're going to be the only unionized people at Eastern Airlines.
Yeah. Well, here's a song for our Spanish listeners, with the singers interpreting for those of us not speaking this beautiful language. Let's just change pace, and then we'll finish out our show. But listen to this song. I think you'll enjoy it, and I think you've heard it before.
Yeah.
refuge in the forest. The last verse says, Con los pobres de la tierra. With the poor people of this earth, I want to share my fate. The streams of the mountains please me more than the sea.
What a beautiful company we had, Eastern Airlines. We had the South American representatives of our great airline, and beautiful music. We had our Canadians, especially those in the Toronto and Montreal area and Ontario. Wonderful group of people, the Eastern family. And we had different cultures, of course, represented by so many different people of Eastern Airlines. Great that we have a show that we can continue talking about Eastern with folks from people like Renee up in the Toronto area that drop in and just make our show a lot better. Thanks so much, Renee, and also Latif Nasser in New York, the people that want information from Eastern Airlines, still thinking about Eastern Airlines. Can you believe that we have people in New York that want to do a show still on Eastern Airlines, the theme of Eastern Airlines? So, yeah, Eastern Airlines is in the news still today, and we're still talking about it here on the radio show, and we're proud of that. By the way, I've got a book to sell, if I might take this time. And just tell you that our new book is out, and we have an order that should be arriving here this week. We've completely run out of books that we've sent out already, those people that have ordered by sending their check to us, and we try to get it out just as soon as we get the supply in. So if you have to wait an extra week, it means that we can't order 1,000 at a time, so... jokingly told our host here tonight in the studio that I order 2 at a time, but that's I was joking about that, of course. But we do order about 15 to 20 at a time. That's all our budget will allow us to order. And sometimes it takes about a week to 2 weeks, or hopefully it will be in before 2 weeks. And when we get that in, those books in, we send them right out to those people that have ordered. So it's only $14.95, and that's delivered to your door. So we've made it easy to order by just going to the EAL Radio Show website. And to make it easy, folks, just go to the homepage, and you'll see donation or donate. And that donate means to donate to keep the radio show and the website on the air and online. And we would appreciate that. But anything over $15, and of course we would love it to be over $15 if you would, but anything $15 and over, we will send you a book out of stories that were written by the family of those people of Eastern Airlines. The pilots, flight attendants have written some stories. We've got all sorts of different folks that have sent us stories that we have included in Volume 1. We do have Volume 2 that we're working on now, but make sure you get Volume 1. Start reading it. I think you'll enjoy it, and recommend it to your Eastern friends. You can,
Neil,
again, go to EALRadioshow.com, EALRadioshow.com, and there you can click on the book review, and that'll give you a little bit more about what the book is all about. But on that homepage of EALRadioshow.com, you'll be able to see donate, and just click on that, and you'll have a choice between PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, and just charge that, and of course it'll include your address so we can send it right out to you. Or if you want to send us a check, like a lot of folks have been doing, you can send it to the EAL Radio Show. Make it payable to the EAL Radio Show, 145 Hilden Road, Suite 115, Ponte Vedra. That's two words. It's PONTEVEDRA, Ponte Vedra, Florida 32081. Again, that's 145 Hilden Road, Suite 115, Ponte Vedra, Florida 32081. And just send us your check, and we'll send one right out to you. Part of the sales, as I've mentioned before, go to keeping the radio show on the air and the website updated and on the Internet. We're not making any big dollars on this, and you can be assured of that. But I can tell you that you'll enjoy the copy of the cover of the book. Was brilliantly done by Captain Jerry Frost of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. I've had folks that have requested a picture. Where can we get a picture like the one that's on the cover of the Wings of Many, which that's the title of the book, Wings of Many. I've got Y in brackets because I take off the wings of man that we used in our theme for many years. But the cover that was done by Jerry Frost, I think, is available also. He can blow that up for you and make a beautiful print for your wall, because it depicts all of the Eastern aircraft from the Pitcairn Mail Wing all the way up to the DC-10 or the 10-11s and all the airplanes that we flew for our wonderful airline. So just order the book, and if you need to contact Jerry Frost, you can just contact us on host@EALRadioshow.com. That's our contact, host@EALRadioshow.com. And by the way, if you'd like your copy signed by yours truly, I'd be happy to do that. I had a lot of help in putting this book together. Alexa Conway was one of the folks that gave us a lot of guidance in putting it together. And Howard Mucci, my friend Howard Mucci, 93 years old today. He's young, a young editor. And I told him we had about 10 more books to do. So he'll be around for a long, long time, I hope. And we're having fun doing it. And we hope you have fun reading it. I think you will. Jim, would you like to talk about any of the EARE chapters? You're having one down in Palm Beach?
Yes, we are, Neil. In fact, this coming Thursday, just a couple of days away, we have our annual, our monthly meeting. And we have hopefully a speaker regarding Alzheimer's. We understand that the Alzheimer's program has progressed to the point where they have some unusual ways to treat this problem, and we're looking forward to that. We have, as I mentioned, the 19 of our members have attended the last few meetings at the Olive Garden on Lake Worth Road. It's a fantastic place. They have a soup and a salad for $7, and you can't beat it anywhere. So anyone coming around the West Palm Beach area, please come and join us. Olive Garden this coming Thursday, I believe that's the 19th, and we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you, Neil.
Cecile?
Hey,
Cecile
Neil.
Is in my group.
Yeah.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Al Jenkins in Atlanta. Can I get that number of the guy on the radio station in New York? I got some doozies for him.
Okay, you're talking about Latif Nasser?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here it is. You got a pencil ready to copy?
I got it now.
Okay, it's area code 857-350-7874. I'll repeat it. Area code 857-350-7874.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Anything else? Well, Cecile, let's see if you're still here with us.
I think she may have signed off at 8 o'clock, Neil.
I cut her microphone off. Cecile?
Yes, sir?
Can you update us on First Flight?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Can you update us on First Flight?
Okay, we're getting a few cancellations, four only, and so we're starting to look, and I'm sent emails out. We're collecting driver's license and passports for the confirmed passengers because it's going to save us a lot of time, and people are asking why we're asking for passports. We're going to be a very secure aircraft. Passports, having worked in security, I might be over-secure, but I'd rather be over-secure than under-secure. Passports is one of the few documents you can really alter. That's the reason for it, and one of our managers suggested it, and I thought it was a good idea. Not that we intend to go any other place besides San Juan, but just in case, we'll have a passport. As far as standbys, I'm sending emails to everybody. It goes by the date of your email or the date that you called if you didn't do email, and that's how we're going to be calling you. Right now we're trying to get a firm count of who's going. Neil, what about the date? Because we changed the date a little bit.
Well, they're still not telling us exactly when the certification of the airline will be. That's determined by the FAA, of course. And so we're looking sometime, hopefully in the latter part of March. But if we have to carry it over to the first 2 weeks of April, that's fine because we've waited 21 years to get on an Eastern airplane again. And what's another month? Not really that much.
God, yeah.
So also, the good news is that if we wait until April, we get a tremendous savings from the hotel rates. So,
right, and that's what we were targeting, weren't we, Neil?
April? That's the good news, yeah. So we'll be doing a little bit of savings as far as those people arriving into Miami, staying at a hotel in Miami. We get better rates in Miami hotels as well in the month of April and also in San Juan. So we'll keep you posted on the website as to the latest on First Flight, and the company is still hoping that we will be the first charter group of the new Eastern Airlines. So, Cecile, there's so much happening in our world today. Tell us about it.
Okay, you know what? I'm in the car. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I can tell you that.
Pick up? Sorry.
There's so much happening in our world today that sometimes sometimes we have negative views about what's happening. There's so much that sometimes it's depressing if we listen to the news enough. But even with our own families, we sometimes have strife and health issues and financial problems and what have you. And so before we go off air tonight, we thought we might want to listen to this song and put a smile back into your heart. And I think it'll accomplish that.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, Neil, this is John. I just want to say that my first flight on an Eastern airplane was 1952-53 in a DC-7. And after I started working and getting on airplanes on Monday morning and coming back in on Friday, for about 20 years, that my airline of choice was Eastern Airlines. And I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you very much to all of the Eastern family for the wonderful years that I had flying Eastern Airlines. Thank you.
Thanks so much, John. And there are millions of folks just like John out there. But fortunately, we had one in our studio tonight. And we certainly thank John and Lynn Reinhart for flying with Eastern Airlines. And so that's about all for our show tonight. Chuck?
Here.
I'm here.
Yes, sir. Would you like to... well, I don't think that's...
I can't do that. I didn't get that part.
Okay. Well, at any rate, that's the music I hear in the background. Jim Hart, if you're still with us, how about taking us out of here?
Very good. Well, there's that music again. We all love it, but fortunately, we don't like to see it come so soon. That's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station, www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day, and we hope we are doing so here at the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 205 departs the gate for a new adventure. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And from all the gang here at our studio and remote locations, we all say all together now, good night and happy
good night,
New Year,
good night, Eastern
family.
Good night, Eastern.
See you next week.
See you next week.